KJAN Sports. It's time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. 2 weeks after the Atlantic Trojans dropped a road game to the Harlan Cyclones by 30 points, the Trojans pushed the Cyclones to overtime last night and fell 62-59 in a Class 3A Substate 8 quarterfinal round game played at Glenwood. Harlan increased a one-point lead out to three with a pair of free throws from Michael Hightoff with about 18 seconds left. Dayton Templeton missed a three to tie, and a hustle play by Niall Peterson kept the possession with the Trojans with 3 seconds left. The Cyclones tipped the inbounds pass, and Jonathan Munson grabbed the steal to run out the clock and seal the Cyclone win. Atlantic executed the game plan beautifully in the first half and stifled the Harlan offense to lead 26-18 at halftime. Cyclones answered back in the third period, outscoring the Trojans 19-5 to grab a six-point lead. Atlantic bounced back in the fourth and grabbed the lead back at 41-40 early in the period. Harlan regained the lead with the next bucket and would lead until Dayton Templeton splashed in a three with 8 seconds left in regulation to tie the game at 54. Harlan failed to get a shot off on the final possession of regulation, and off they went to overtime. The lead changed 5 times in the extra session before the Cyclones advanced. Connor Bruck led to Harlan with 23 points. Michael Hightoff had 12, including 4 big free throws in overtime. The Cyclones improved to 16-6 on the season, and they advanced to the 3A Substate 8 semifinals. They'll take on the Glenwood Rams Thursday night at 7 o'clock back in Glenwood. Atlantic head coach Jeff Ebling loved the fight from his team throughout last night's contest.
It was a complete team effort. They followed the game plan. I mean, the pace was ours. The tempo was ours. We just didn't make enough plays down the stretch. But, you know, they're a seed-led team there. And, you know, some of our young guys stepped right up and played right with them. So it was good to see that. The hardest part to me is seeing those seniors less time in the locker room.
Coach Ebling thought the defensive execution was great.
It was a good job by the boys. The defensive game plan was right on. I thought Grant Sturm did a tremendous job against Connor Brook. You know, made him work for everything he got. And, you know, it was just a few plays here and there that just got us in the end. But like I said, you can't fault the effort. And, you know, I'm proud of these guys, how they played.
Atlantic was led by 28 points from Skylar Handlos, 14 from Dayton Templeton. The Trojans end their season with a record of 8-14. Also last night, Glenwood advanced with a 75-40 win over Greene County. Also in Substate 8 at Winterset, it was Winterset over Clark, 83-30. Denison beating Creston, 63-42. In 3A Substate 1 play at Carroll last night, Carroll beat Esterville Lincoln Central, 69-34. Sergeant Bluff Luton over Spencer, 72-44. Also at MLC Floyd Valley, it was MLC Floyd Valley beating Storm Lake 65-50. Lamar's beat Bishop Heelan Catholic 73-54. In 4A Substate 8 play last night, Lewis Central over Thomas Jefferson 64-50. Urbandale beat Des Moines Hoover 56-28. Out to action continues in the smaller classes tonight in boys basketball. In Class 1A District semifinals, in District 13 at Mount Air, East Mills plays Bedford and Sydney faces Mount Air. In District 14 tonight, Coon Rapids Baird will play at Martinsdale St. Mary's, and Stanton will play at Cam tonight, and we'll have that game for you online tonight. We've got Hawkeye basketball on the air, so we'll have that game on our TV page at KJAN.com. Cam at Stanton. Chris will have the action for you. Audio only, 7 o'clock tonight. Also, District 15 at St. Albert High School. It'll be Woodbine versus Boyer Valley. Then it'll be St. Albert facing IKM Manning. In the Class 2 district finals tonight, at District 15 at Harlan, Panorama plays Kemper Catholic. And at Council Bluffs Thomas Jefferson High School in District 16, Tri-Center will battle Trainer this evening. Also, girls 4A and 5A regional finals set for tonight. In Class 4A at Glenwood, in Region 1, Glenwood will face Lamar's. And in Region 8 at Lewis Central High School, Lewis Central plays Dallas Center Grimes. Also in Class 5A at Region 3 at Johnston, it'll be Johnston hosting Council Bluffs' Abraham Lincoln. Those winners all advance to the girls' state basketball tournament. Well, the AP boys basketball poll this week includes the 4A and 3A schools. Ankeny Centennial is atop the pile in Class 4A with North Scott, Waterloo West, Iowa City West, and Cedar Falls, the top five. Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln checks in at number 7 in this week's poll. In Class 3A, Norwalk is leading with Mount Vernon, Davenport Assumption, the top three. Carroll is number 4 this week. Marion rounds out this week's top five. Well, Florida State is the new leader in the ACC men's basketball after knocking Louisville from the top of the conference standings. Trent Forrest scored 14 of his 16 points after halftime to rally the 6th-ranked Seminoles from a double-digit deficit in an 82-67 win over the number 11 Cardinals. Hours after Kansas moved to the top of the AP poll, they picked up an 83-58 win over Oklahoma State last night. Also, Texas posted a 67-57 win over number 20 West Virginia in top 25 college hoops. Kansas gained the number one ranking in the Associated Press men's basketball poll after Saturday's three-point win over previously top-ranked Baylor. The Jayhawks picked up 62 of the 64 first-place votes, with the second-ranked Bears taking the remaining two. Gonzaga dropped a notch to third with its loss to BYU. Dayton and San Diego State round out the top five. They're followed by Florida State, Duke, Kentucky, Maryland, and Creighton in the top 10. Michigan, Texas, and Michigan State returned to the poll. Iowa moved up two spots this week. The Hawkeyes are at number 18. Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey says freshman guard C.J. Frederick is questionable for tonight's game at 24th-ranked Michigan State. Frederick missed the 18th-ranked Hawkeyes win over Ohio State with an ankle sprain.
You got to balance his eagerness with sensibility. So for him, what I told him was, you know, we would love to have him play Tuesday and Saturday and every game after that, but we're not going to run him out there until he's, 100%.
McCaffrey says they don't want to rush him back.
He's a lot farther along than he was a couple days ago. We kind of thought maybe for Ohio State, but then as we got closer to it now, it was clearly not the time. We're going to go today, see what he does today, and we'll do some things tomorrow and we'll make a decision.
At 10-6, the Hawkeyes and the Spartans are part of a four-team logjam in second place in the Big Ten, and McCaffrey says a key will be slowing down Spartan senior guard Cassius Winston.
He is an incredibly calming influence on this team. He knows when to go. He knows when to wait. You need a three, he makes a three. You need a drive, you need him to find somebody. He finds somebody. He'll make defensive plays. Kind of plays at his pace, and he's a fierce competitor.
Iowa has only one win in East Lansing since 1993. This will be another tough challenge tonight. Michigan State coach Tom Izzo featured some smaller lineups in last week's lopsided win at Nebraska.
Now we'll play a team that's, in Iowa, who's bigger than big. So, that can work for you and against you. And it looks good the way we did it, but we're going to have to guard some people now coming up and rebound the ball. So every team presents a different challenge.
We'll have that game for you tonight, 5 o'clock. The pregame start time here on KJAN, 6 o'clock is tip time from the Breslin Center. Iowa State coach Steve Prohm is focusing on defense in practice as the Cyclones get set for tonight's game at home against TCU. Cyclones are 4-10 in the Big 12 after an 87-57 loss to Texas Tech.
Just kind of go back to some of the fundamental foundation building pieces, to where really going on technique, really going on, effort and the way we compete, and not so get so caught up in the opponent, but actually practicing just what we need to do to get better.
Cyclones put up little resistance and losses to the Red Raiders and Kansas. That's a 6 o'clock tip time on that one tonight. Drake opens the final week of the regular season with a Tuesday night visit to second-place Loyola. The Bulldogs are 8-8 in the Valley.
It should be another great game for us, a big challenge here before we head into the conference tournament with Loyola on the road and then Northern Iowa at home. So certainly get a chance to play the two top teams to finish out the regular season and have a real good idea where we sit before we head to St. Louis.
That game will match two of the Missouri Valley's top centers in Drake's Liam Robbins and Loyola's Cameron Crutwig. That's a 7 o'clock tip time tonight in that contest. The conference tournament decides who goes to the NCAA tourney, but UNI coach Ben Jacobson says there is still value in a regular season title. The Panthers can clinch at least a share of their first Valley title in 10 years tomorrow night with a victory at home against Evansville.
All of the attention is on the NCAA tournament, and who's going to get an at-large, and who wins their conference tournament. That's no question that's where all of the attention is. I think if you ask a bunch of coaches, I think we would all tell you the same thing. Winning a regular season championship is about as hard as it gets.
That's UNI coach Ben Jacobson, who says winning a regular season title takes several months of consistent play. Well, Major League Baseball is urging a federal judge to dismiss a lawsuit by fantasy contestants over sign stealing by the Houston Astros. MLB says attempts at cheating are part of sports. Five men have sued MLB, MLB Advanced Media, the Astros, and the Boston Red Sox in federal court in Manhattan. Among their claims are fraud, violation of consumer protection laws, and negligence. In football news, the Green Bay Packers have signed longtime place kicker Mason Crosby to a three-year contract extension. Crosby, who turns 36 in September, has been with the Packers since being selected in the sixth round of the 2007 draft. He's appeared in every game since then. His string of 208 games is second in Packers history to Brett Favre's 255. Crosby is one of four NFL players to appear in every regular season game since 2007, joining former Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers, Baltimore punter Sam Cook, and Dallas long snapper L.P. Leducer. He's the franchise leader in points, field goals, 50-yard field goals, and extra points. Also, the Lions are keeping veteran receiver Danny Amendola, who had 62 catches for 678 yards and one touchdown last season. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.